The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor at 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, X, at Zach Gelb. That is Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got a whole lot to do today. Coming up in an hour 20 from now, Jordan Faison from the Notre Dame football team. He's a national champion in lacrosse, and also he's been now a part of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish football team for the last 2 years, trying to win a championship with them. He led the team in receiving on Friday night to kick off the college football playoff in Notre Dame's big victory up against Indiana. He'll join us an hour 20 from now. And then coming up in the final hour of the show today, we'll talk about the surging Minnesota Vikings, who have a chance to get the number one overall seed in the NFC, the future of Sam Darnold, what's going to happen with him, with former Vikings linebacker and current team analyst in Ben Lieber on their radio network, as the Minnesota Vikings have been a wonderful story this year, and they had a great victory yesterday up against the Seattle Seahawks to put them at 13-2 on the season. But I got to start with everything that happened over the weekend in the college football playoff. So the takes that I have heard from Saturday evening to early Sunday morning, all throughout Sunday until now, have been absolutely insufferable. So, and I also think there's a lot of contradictions that go on. So I love that Lane Kiffin, right, thinks that his Ole Miss team got screwed out of getting into the college football playoff, where, let me just let everyone in on a secret. If it was a 4-team playoff, even if you want to say a 6-team playoff, or even an 8-team playoff, I think there is a case to be made with a limited selection that maybe a team could get screwed. But in a year where outside of Oregon, there wasn't another great football team in college football, for you to not be able to make a 12-team playoff, let me let you in on a little secret. It means you didn't belong. Because there were multiple teams this year that stubbed their toe, were still able to stand back up, and then they stubbed their toe again, fell back down, and then you were hoping you were able to stand back up once again. It's very simple. If Ole Miss didn't end up losing to Florida, they would have been in the college football playoff. If Alabama didn't lose to Oklahoma at the end of the season, they would have been in the college football playoff. So I understand the tough debate, and it's always been one that we've had even when it was a 4-team. The objective of the committee is to get the however many best teams, whether it was 4 or 12. But you also got to be deserving too. And when you look at Alabama this year, and you look at Ole Miss, and I'm not anti-SEC, I love the SEC. They didn't do enough on the field to clearly plant the flag in the ground and say, we deserve to be one of these 12 teams. So I don't care that SMU got blown out. I don't care that Indiana got blown out, but I do find it funny how loud the SEC fans were and how loud Lane Kiffin was on social media commenting about Notre Dame beating up on Indiana, commenting on Penn State beating up on SMU, but there were crickets. It was absolute silence. You didn't hear anything from Lane Kiffin when an SEC school in Tennessee got absolutely destroyed by Ohio State by a score of 42-17. So all I ask for is consistency. We did not get consistency from Lane Kiffin this past weekend. And also, the College Football Playoff Committee, whether you like their decision or not, at least they were consistent. They told you pretty much what they did with the rankings, that making your conference championship game matters. They didn't penalize Texas. They didn't penalize Penn State for losing in their conference championship games. They made them the fifth seed, and they made them the sixth seed. They didn't punish SMU, who was in the playoff before, for playing an extra game and losing to Clemson. So the idea that, oh, that Alabama and Ole Miss got screwed, I just don't see it. Now, if you want to say Alabama is better than Indiana, or you also have Ole Miss is better than SMU, I get it. You know, if you said to me, Zach, Alabama plays Indiana on a neutral site, or even at Indiana, who wins the game? I'm probably picking Alabama. If you say, Zach, oh, Ole Miss plays SMU, who wins the game? I'm probably picking SMU. You know, I am. But it doesn't mean that those schools needed to be in the College Football Playoff, because then if that's the case, just put the preseason rankings up there from the beginning of the year. The 12 teams that are the top 12 teams in the country out of the top 25, the first 12, they make the College Football Playoff. The games do have to matter. And I understand Indiana and their two biggest games of the season. They got smoked by Ohio State, and right, Kurt Cignetti got smoked by Notre Dame. SMU, when you look back at their performance and you see the way before this one where they lost to BYU, who's a good team, and they lost to Clemson by three in an ACC championship game, they didn't have this great win. But also, I said a few weeks ago, right, when you looked at the resume of Alabama and Miami, when Miami fans thought that they had a place to bitch and complain, which they didn't. And hey, I'm Mr. Consistent here. I tell you, in a 12-team format, you don't have a right to bitch, in my opinion, if you don't get in because you didn't make it obvious. But to the Miami fans that were freaking out for about 5 days that Alabama's getting in and they're not, well, yeah, the Alabama quality of wins were better. But once again, if they elected to put Miami in over Alabama, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, Alabama got screwed. And here's the other tricky part, too. And we've seen this before. And Nick Saban actually made this argument a few years ago when his team was left out of the College Football Playoff. Well, if Alabama played Indiana, or if Ole Miss played SMU, who would be the favorite? Yeah, obviously it would be Alabama. And obviously it would be Ole Miss. They would be the favorites. But just because you're the favorite doesn't mean that you're going to win the game. Alabama was a favorite up against Vanderbilt. How did that work? Alabama was a favorite up against Oklahoma. How did that work? Ole Miss was a favorite up against Kentucky. A favorite up against Florida. How did that work? So the nonsense that I'm hearing in the last 48 to 72 hours, how Alabama got screwed and Ole Miss got screwed. The irony is, the team that we're not talking about is South Carolina. South Carolina at the end of the season was playing better football than both Alabama and Ole Miss. But with that being said, South Carolina lost to Ole Miss and Alabama. But you don't hear South Carolina really bitching. And to be fair, and I like Kalen DeBoer a lot, you haven't heard Alabama really bitch. The one coach, and I like personality from my coach, I like entertainment, I'm a fan of Lane Kiffin. But as great as I like Lane Kiffin, as much as I like Lane Kiffin, I thought he was lame Kiffin for what he pulled over this weekend. Because you can't tell me that you want me to take you seriously when you're basically dancing on the parade and pushing your narrative when Notre Dame is beating up on Indiana and Penn State is beating up on SMU, but then when your SEC conference is getting smacked in the mouth, absolutely smacked, embarrassed, dragged up and down the field by Ohio State team who a few weeks ago couldn't beat Michigan, and Michigan couldn't even have like a forward pass that was successful. You can't tell me that that's when you go silent. So I think it's a bunch of hypocrisy. I think it's a bunch of jackassery. And this idea that now the committee should be shamed and the committee did a shameful job based on the standard that they were grading off of, where you have to pluck on who you think the best teams are, but also the best teams that deserve to go. They got the right 12 teams. But I think there's a bigger point to be made here. And I don't want to say I told you so, because I'm not going to be an I told you so type of guy today, because all throughout the year I will acknowledge, even though I was anti-college football playoff expansion to 12 teams before the start of the season, and I thought it would water down the product, and I didn't think you needed to go from 4 to 12, I said at most go from 4 to 6 or go 4 to 8, right? That's what I've been saying all year. But as the season did go on, and they had the perfect, really, results play on out where every team besides Oregon was stubbing their toe this year and had to get back up, and then most of those teams stubbed their toe again. The 12-team format for most of this year was met with positivity. With most of this year was met in a good light and was really talked about in a good way from even like somebody by myself that never wanted to go to 12 teams and was vehemently against 12 teams. So when I want, right, Lane Kiffin to be genuine, it would be really disingenuous of me, even though I was anti the 12-team format before the year started, and then for most of the season, I'm like, okay, they're going to get it right. I don't think it would be right if I got on the air today and said, hey, they now got to go back to four teams, or they got to go to only eight teams. I don't think that would be right. And I also understand what will happen and what should happen. Right? I said if they were going to expand, six or eight would have been a good number. But I knew that they were going to go more than that. And for them making that drastic jump from 4 to 12, if you think this is the first time they're going to expand it, and that's it, please, I got a bridge to go sell you after the show. They will expand this even further. But you look at right now the eight teams remaining. If I would have told you that we could bypass the weekend that we just saw, Texas beating up on Clemson, Ohio State beating up on Tennessee, Penn State beating up on SMU, and Notre Dame beating up on Indiana. If I told you we could bypass all that, and I love football, I thought it was a boring weekend of football, if I'm being honest, in college and also the NFL. This was one of the rare weekends this year where I actually thought the NFL was better than the college. And it wasn't like the NFL had you jumping for joy at the end of the day. But if I said you could get rid of outside of the atmosphere and how cool it was to see those teams on their own campus stadium for a playoff game, if you could wipe that away for Friday and Saturday, I'm telling you that we're starting the college football playoff with these matchups only in an 18 playoff of Notre Dame, Georgia, Penn State, Boise State, Ohio State, Oregon, and Texas, Arizona State. Would anyone complain about that? I don't think so. So yes, I'm not going to sit here and say it was definitely a mistake to go to 12, because for most of this year it has worked out. But we had crappy, and I mean abysmal, semifinal games when it was a four-team playoff. There weren't many great four-team playoff semifinal games. There just wasn't. You know, Oklahoma, Georgia is one that stands out. There's a few others as well. But for the most part, like last year was a big hit, especially with Alabama and Michigan. But for the duration and for the majority of the 14 college football playoff, every Tom, Dick, and Harry would be getting on the air the following day after we found out what the championship game was and was like, man, these semifinal games blow. These semifinal games, they stink. These semifinal games, they suck. So really what they did was they expanded the pool. You still have SEC schools that don't get in, that didn't do enough to deserve a spot. They're still bitching. And we still saw the first round games, which used to be the semifinals, and now it's the first round leading into the quarterfinals. They really sucked. So it's like everyone's complaining, and I think people are just complaining to complain. So long segment here, obviously, talking about this. But just to summarize pretty much my feelings on it, I can't say outside of Tennessee, Ohio State, I can't say I'm stunned by any of the results. I never thought that SMU was going to beat Penn State. I never thought Indiana was going to beat Notre Dame. I thought Clemson could give Texas a run. And at times that game got close, but it was similar to the Big Ten championship game between Penn State and Oregon. You never really thought Texas was going to lose, just how you never really thought Oregon was going to lose when you look back at Texas, Clemson, and Oregon, Penn State. And that probably was the best game, Clemson and Texas. But then you look at Ohio State, Tennessee, I thought for sure, and I know Dylan Sampson got hurt, but with how good that defense is for Tennessee, Nico Amaliava, who clearly run the football, got to work in the passing, and just the unknown questions with Ohio State, I thought that was going to be a game that delivers. But early on, when it was 14-0, and Ohio State said, oh, wow, we have all these weapons on the outside, let's actually use them, which we didn't do 3 weeks ago up against Michigan, you know that was the lights were getting turned off and that party was over. It was over for the 40,000 Tennessee fans that invaded Ohio Stadium. That game was over rather quickly. So, no, I don't think Alabama got screwed. I don't think Ole Miss got screwed. And even though I never thought we should have gone to a 12-team format, I'm not going to sit here today and be disingenuous and say, oh, we got to get rid of the 12-team format. Because it's just a waste of everyone's time. It's a waste of my breath to say that because we know what this is all about. It's the money. And we know the money is never going to follow truncating the system or even having it stay the same. And moving forward, they're going to expand to this college football playoff. Could it change the criteria moving forward? Because there's a lot of social media reaction today. It's like, oh, Alabama should have got in. Oh, Ole Miss should have got in. Maybe. That's a possibility. But I don't think the committee got it wrong. Because you have to earn a right to the college football playoff. And even though, right, Indiana's resume wasn't great, SMU's resume wasn't great, Alabama and Ole Miss didn't do enough to make it clear and obvious in a 12-team format. And when you don't do enough to make it clear and obvious in a 12-team format, I can't lose my mind and be irate about teams that have three losses and teams that lost to Oklahoma and Vanderbilt at the end of the season. And Alabama, right, who lost to Tennessee, I can't freak out and say, oh, Alabama should have been there when they didn't do enough. And also Tennessee got smacked in the college football playoff. Absolutely smacked in the college football playoff. So I don't really think there is a right argument to be made when you take a look back and you take a glance back at the committee decision in terms of, oh, this is why it was obvious that Alabama needed to be there or Ole Miss needed to be there. I don't see it. And I won't sit here today and say, man, expanding to 12, even though I wasn't a big fan of it, was this ridiculous mistake, because in reality, the conversation still hasn't changed. There's a lot of teams that thought they should have been a part of this format, just like there was with 4, just like there was with 12. And the first round matchups, they were bad at 4 and they're still bad at 12. So here we are. What's your reaction to the way that everything shaked out this weekend with the college football playoff opening round? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. I saw our buddy Tiki Barber down the hall. He is in today, working hard right before the holiday. Obviously, we have Christmas Eve tomorrow and then also Christmas Day. So we're going to be off on Tuesday and Wednesday. And during the holiday season, right, people like to bring things into the office. I made a mistake before the show. There was, I think it was pound cake. And then there was also Christmas cookies. So Tiki and I were saying, I wonder how long these Christmas cookies have been out here. Because sometimes in a radio station that the Christmas cookies could be brought in on like Friday and they could still be here on Monday. And you don't want a stale cookie. So Tiki sacrificed himself. He tried the cookie and he goes, they're good to go. So I ate the cookie 3 minutes before the start of the show. And this entire segment, my mouth is like watering still from the cookie. Which, when you have to talk for a living, and I feel like I keep I'm clearing my throat during this entirety, it doesn't always make for the best radio. I have no clue if you could tell in the stream. I have no clue if you could tell when I just did that last 17 minutes of radio. But I know it, and it's annoying me today. Are you annoyed with the College Football Playoff Committee? Ooh, that was a good transition. Are you annoyed in thinking that the SEC believes that they got screwed? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. We come on back. Two quarterbacks that I love watching right now in the NFC. We'll get to that on the other side. But first, football season is in full swing, and you can take full advantage by winning some cash or Sleeper Picks. Sleeper Picks is a fantasy game, but you can win real money. Just pick more or less at least two of your favorite player stats. If you're right, you could win. You could pick up to 8 players to win up to 100 times your money. For a limited time, Sleeper has a special offer. New users just have to play $5 and they'll receive $55 in free bonus entries. That's right. If you deposit $25 and play $5, they'll give you 11 $5 bonus entries to start playing. So download the Sleeper app now and use promo code SCORE and get it on this promo before time runs out. What are you waiting for? Download Sleeper today and unlock one of the fastest growing fantasy sports apps in the world. Use code SCORE to claim the play $5, get $55 bonus entry offer. That's code SCORE. Must be at least 18 years old in most states and present in state where it is legal to wager. Promo code location and other restrictions apply. Minimum deposit $25. See terms and use for details at sleeper.com. Please play responsibly. Call 1-800-426-2537 for help. Sponsored by Sleeper, a Blitz product.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Jordan Faison from the Notre Dame Fighting Irish is going to join us coming up in an hour from now. Also at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific today, we will be joined by Ben Lieber, who is the former NFL linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings and also is a part of their radio broadcast team now. A few things here. I'm very upset with the fine folks over in Minnesota. Has nothing to do with your football team. You know, the Minnesota Vikings are wonderful. We'll talk about them in a second. But Botcher, I'm not in a great mood today for a multitude of reasons, if I'm being honest. You know, I got one producer who's got the sniffles he had to call out, with the other one's on vacation, so that's never good. And then I have to, so I've done a lot of already my holiday, like, gifts that I've had to get for people. So, you know, there's like some people here that I had to take care of and get them some gift cards and things like that. But I have not yet tipped my doormen in the building that I live in. So I usually do that Christmas Eve. There's like a box and I throw it in the box. So yesterday I had to buy a new computer cover for my computer. And I'm sure you could see it right now. I do not have a new computer case cover and it's broken, right? You could see right now if you're watching on YouTube, there's a big chip in the computer case cover. I got this new laptop in 2020. So the case lasted me all the way up until 2024 with how much I take my computer like everywhere because of work. You know, 4-year run for a computer cover is pretty damn good with all the wear and tear that it has. You would agree, Mr. Technology?
100%, yes.
Yeah. So you walk into the Mac store yesterday, right? I finished my Sunday morning football shift. I walk into the Mac store, the Apple store. And they didn't have any 13-inch MacBook Pro cases, only for MacBook Air 13 inches. So they said, I don't even think they had any online. One of those guys in the store was like, hey, use this website. It will save you a few dollars. Happy holidays. And basically not buying it from Apple, which is rare, but I appreciate it. And it was an employee. So I go home, right? Finish Sunday morning football. Walk in the freezing cold yesterday. It felt like it was 6 degrees in New York. I'm all bundled up. Had my cold brew, right? Because I'm cold brew 365. Black cold brew. No milk, no sugar in it. And I get to the Apple store. Takes me about 25 minutes to get there. It's about 3 blocks from my apartment. Coming here from our studios. And they tell me that they don't have any of these cases. So then I walk the 3 blocks back to my apartment from Apple. Sit down for the 1 o'clock games. I find a case. And I order it. Now, I'm sitting there and I'm like, am I going to use my debit card or am I going to use my credit card? And usually I would just use my credit card. But for some reason, for whatever the reasons were yesterday, I used my debit card. So they make the charge. It still costs you $40 to go get a cover. So much for saving money. And then $5 for shipping. So I don't think anything of it, right? And it's a reputable website. I bought things from this website before. So it's not as if it was just some Fugazi website and they got me. So I go to take out money today to go tip my doorman, or at least take out the cash, gonna put in a card, write a nice little card, and then slip it in the box down in the lobby of where I live. So I go to see my debit card and I see like a good chunk of money was missing. And I go, well, I just paid my rent and that's direct deposit. I had a Verizon bill, but I go, it didn't add up. And we just got paid on Friday. And I don't keep a lot in my checkings anyway, because I put most of it in my savings, or I put most of it in a different account in a high yield saving. So I look at the pending charges. $1,600 missing from my account on a purchase at a Best Buy in Minnesota. $1,600. So now I call my credit card company and my debit card at my bank and they go, well, we could overnight you a new card, but your account's going to lock until you activate that new card because we got to cancel the old card because you don't want someone spending all your money. And they go, because of the holiday, we think it would be able to get to you by tomorrow, but if it doesn't get to you by tomorrow, you may got to wait till Thursday or Friday. So now I don't have my debit card. So I couldn't even take out any, because I never held any cash. I mean, I wanted to get a haircut today. Couldn't even take out money to get a haircut. Couldn't even take out money to tip my doorman. I still have my credit card, so, you know, I'll be able to use that. But this idea that some pain in the ass in Minnesota just took $1,600, and then the bank's like, oh, it's pending, so it hasn't gone through yet. I'm like, I bet you it's going to go through. And they go, oh, we'll let you know in 3 to 7 days. If it goes through, we issue a credit to your account and we start an investigation. If it doesn't go through, the money will just go back into your account. But it's a great inconvenience. But that's the life of hackers.
Is it not obvious that you're in New York and they're in Minnesota and it's not you?
Right. And do you know how many times I'll either swipe my debit card or my credit card and it will bounce back right away and I'll get a fraud alert? Like, I'll be go getting a cup of coffee. Or I'll be going and getting like a bacon, egg, and cheese at the deli, and I'll get an alert, fraud alert, fraud alert. But when they spend $1,600 in Minnesota, they don't do any fraud alert. So just bad timing, because now my doormen are going to be giving me like the look. Oh, you haven't tipped us yet. You know, and I'm not going to tip them tomorrow. I'm not going to tip them Wednesday. I can't tip them until I get my new debit card issued back.
It's a post-Christmas gift.
Yeah.
It's a holiday gift.
Yeah, but then I feel scummy. You know, I know technically you gotta get it in by New Year's, so I'll be good, but I've lived in this building since 2019. So I'm sure that they're accustomed to, oh, Zach's holiday gift happens on New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve or either Christmas Day is usually when I drop it off. So now I'm going to just feel awkward. It's going to be like the first segment of the show after I ate that cookie when my mouth was watering and I thought it was distracting me during the entire part of the segment. So here's the message, Botcher. If the Minnesota Vikings start to bleep the bed now down the stretch, it's called karma. And I had no reason to root against Minnesota. I still am rooting for Minnesota. You know, I like the Lions too, the Pack, you know. I like everyone in the NFC North outside of the Bears. You know, I like watching the Packers. I love watching the Vikings. I love watching the Detroit Lions that play yesterday where the whole team pretend there was a fumble and they end up throwing a touchdown. That was awesome. But if the Minnesota Vikings, who only have 2 losses on the year, if they start not playing well, it's because some bozo in Minnesota took $1,600 out of my checking account for my debit card. So what do you think about that theory, Botcher?
That they're going to suck now?
Yeah. Well, it's a possibility.
Well, yeah, but they could also be, you know, Canadian, like, Minnesota's close to Canada.
Okay.
Maybe they're a Canadian one over the border.
Now, also, to be fair, they bought it online. They bought it from a Best Buy in Minnesota online. So I don't even know if they're actually in Minnesota, but they bought it from a Best Buy in Minnesota online, which is even more to the point that you would think the credit card company would say, hey, this is some fraudulent activity, but I guess not. Now, there have been 2 quarterbacks this year in the NFC that I think before the year, I'll raise my hand and say this one. I don't think I know. Sam Darnold. I had no confidence that he was going to be any good. Got that one wrong. Jaden Daniels, I said, the Commanders, because I love Daniels. Absolutely love Daniels. I said, maybe if everything goes right, they could be a wild card team, but I still wouldn't expect it. The Washington Commanders yesterday, I know Daniels only had 2 interceptions, and then the rest of the team had three other turnovers. So there was 5 total turnovers in that game. And I get it. Kenny Pickett was in for Jalen Hurts, who had a concussion. And the Eagles couldn't catch a cold yesterday. When you look at A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley, right? Really more so Devontae and Saquon Barkley dropping the ball. But what Jaden Daniels did yesterday was just spectacular. Your offense turns the ball over 5 times. I don't care if Kenny Pickett's the quarterback. I don't care who's dropping the football for the Eagles. For you to still win a football game, after turning the football over 5 times, your offense doing so 5 times, that's unbelievable. And not that he needed a moment to lock up Offensive Rookie of the Year. Because, yes, Brock Bowers had a very good season, an incredible rookie season. You know, Bo Nix has been better than what anyone could have anticipated. But when you uplift a franchise that's been as lousy for this long and as rotten and just disgusting for this long, like the Washington Commanders, you deserve to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. So Jaden Daniels, it's weird to say he locked it up, but I guess there was still a little bit of a conversation who was going to win. He clearly is now, and he's been clearly the entire year, the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And we've seen the last two seasons, C.J. Stroud change a franchise overnight. Jaden Daniels change a franchise overnight. And now, really, the Commanders are going to the playoffs. We know that. They're going to be a playoff team. But the question is going to be, next year, can he elevate them even further? The Texans have kind of stayed the same, where they were really good last year. They won their division. They won a playoff game. Then they went home in the second round. After seeing the Texans lose to the Chiefs and other moments this year, the Texans just don't have that big game in them. Heck, they lost to the Jets, for crying out loud. So I give praise to Jaden Daniels. The guy I really got to give praise to is Sam Darnold. And I do think this is going to be one and done for Sam Darnold in Minnesota. It's going to be like the guy that hacked my debit card. It's going to be one and done in Minnesota. And you're going to get a lot of money. That's what Sam Darnold's going to have happen to him. Now, he's not going to hack my debit card. He doesn't need to do that. But Sam Darnold, he was known up until this season for his NFL career for getting mana and for seeing ghosts. That's what this dude was known for. And I get you could have the conversation, did the Jets really put him in a position to succeed? But eventually, you got to wear some of that as well. Sam Darnold has greatly benefited from having Kevin O'Connell as his coach. He has greatly benefited from having Justin Jefferson as a receiver and the multitude of weapons that they have at the Minnesota Vikings. But that's not a knock on Sam Darnold. For a young quarterback to succeed, you need a good head coach and you need talent around him. You know, it's very tough to succeed if you're playing with like 10 other bums on the offensive side of the ball. So Sam Darnold has been really damn good this year. Better than I thought he could ever be. I would have never thought we'd be sitting here coming off of week 16 talking about the Minnesota Vikings. Once again, Minnesota! Who would have thought we'd be talking about them getting the number one overall seed possibly? But with all that being said, the Vikings to me have a plan. And the Vikings' plan is to sort of cut corners in giving out a ridiculously large contract to the quarterback position. They drafted J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy also benefited from a really good system at Michigan. So I think they're going to let Sam Darnold walk. He'll go get his $36, $37, $38, which is now a bargain, $1 million a year for an NFL quarterback, maybe even upwards to $40. And I do believe that they're going to pay next to nothing next year on a rookie contract for J.J. McCarthy to be the guy. And will the Vikings probably regress in some capacity? Yes. I don't think the Vikings next year, we're going to be sitting here with them only having two or three losses on the season. But their system is set up to succeed. And really, Justin Jefferson, he's in that conversation maybe as the most valuable non-quarterback in the league. Because you look at the Eagles, they're loaded. I know Saquon's phenomenal. But they also got A.J. Brown. They also got Devontae Smith. You know, they also got Jalen Hurts, and you see his value the other day when he's not able to be in, and Dexter Henry's guy, Kenny Two Gloves. It wasn't as horrible as what people are saying. I thought he was fine. Catch the ball, Devontae Smith, but he was in the game. But you, like, hey, T.J. Watt, extremely valuable. We know that with the Steelers. But you look at Justin Jefferson, he gets his own, he has no ego, and he also opens up the field for everybody else to eat. And that throw by Darnold, it was a great escape, great mobility, the game-winning touchdown, and it was a great catch by Justin Jefferson. That kind of encapsulates what the Vikings are this year. And the three best teams in the NFC, and you can order them any way you want now. For a while, we just said, oh, it's just the Eagles and the Lions. The Vikings are right there in that conversation. And they end the season with the Packers and also the Detroit Lions. But those three teams are clearly the three best teams in the NFC in whatever order you want. The Eagles, the Lions, and also the Vikings. But Darnold, I think, is going to be somewhere else next year because this is what Minnesota's doing by design. If they made it work with Sam Darnold, I think they're going to believe they can make it work with J.J. McCarthy as well. You cut corners at the quarterback position in terms of cost, and you spend it everywhere else. So very, very, very much so impressed with Jaden Daniels and Sam Darnold. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back with the news brief. Did you watch, by the way, yesterday, Dexter Henry? Because I know yep. You are Mr. Pitt. Hail to Pitt. I was happy with their football season this year for the most part.
Well, I won't say I was happy with it. I was disappointed.
It was a solid season.
I mean, if you told me at the beginning of the year they would have won seven games, Yeah, I would have signed for it.
Yeah.
But you started off 7-0. You wanted to end a little better than that. But
yeah, they had some crazy comebacks earlier in the year. Yeah, Backyard Brawl.
Which would, listen, they beat West Virginia.
Yeah.
That's what you need. That's what you need to happen. That made the year for me. And
the Clemson one was disappointing because they should have won that
yes,
game.
Yes, I think that one was disappointing, absolutely. But look, I think you're right. When you look at it overall, you know, it's fine. Did I watch a bowl game?
No, did you watch Kenny Two Gloves yesterday?
No, I did not watch Kenny Two Gloves yesterday.
Okay.
I did not watch Kenny Two Gloves yesterday.
Man.
I'm happy for him. He played all right.
Yeah, it's weird. A lot of people are like, he sucks. He was terrible. I'm not a huge fan of Kenny Pickett as an NFL quarterback, but considering the circumstances,
yeah.
You know, he made a throw at the end of the game that Devontae Smith was right in his hands. He catches the ball, game's over.
Should have caught the ball. He made the throw.
Yeah.
You can't kill Kenny Pickett. I didn't watch the game, to be fully transparent, but you can't put that loss on him.
Yeah. Also, your Steelers.
Could
we stop pretending like this team is a contender?
Here we go.
But am I wrong?
But who said they were a contender? Who's saying this?
Well, when they started, it's like a few years ago. Remember they were undefeated?
Oh, yeah, okay. This is three seasons ago.
Yeah, three seasons ago. It's the same thing. When you're winning all those games, I'm not saying you were saying it,
yeah,
but there
yeah.
was a contingent of Steelers fans who were like,
I didn't believe that.
Who were like, hey, the NFL's open this year. We keep on winning games.
It's funny. This is just me saying this. I think where they are what they are. Now, could they have won the game against the Ravens the other day? Sure. Mm-hmm. Russ had his worst game at the worst time, right?
And he fumbled.
He fumbled. He throws the pick six. Terrible. Can't have that. Mm-hmm. The Steelers also couldn't recover fumbles that they had. They get those. It changes the game.
So you're a realistic Steelers fan. You're kind of in the line of thinking of they are what they've been really ever since the 2016 season, where they win a ton of regular season games, overachieve probably from what the expectation is going in, but then come playoff time, they're not winning.
I did think that this year people had them rated a little too low. Like the places where Fair. I saw they had them at last in the AFC North, I was like, nah, that's crazy. I thought that was crazy. I'm not surprised the Steelers are in a position to win this division. That I'm not surprised about. Do I trust them to go on the road and beat Buffalo or Kansas City? No.
Gotcha.
No. Okay. I don't think so. Can they win a home game?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
I also thought they could have beat the Browns a few years ago in a home game, too. How'd that work out?
You had to take it there. You had to take it
Sorry.
There.
Sorry. You give a mouse a cookie, he wants a glass of milk.
Yeah, they gave you one there.
We'll get to a news brief next. Standing by with the latest update. One of my favorites around here, the great Dexter Henry.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start things off with Kirk Herbstreit. He's going to dominate this news brief. This was him on SportsCenter over the weekend. This was his biggest takeaways from week 1 of the college football playoff.
That I hope next year the committee won't get caught up in what the social media and a lot of people who are fringe fans get caught up in, which is wins. They had 11 wins. They must be good. Who did they beat? I think is much more important than how many wins you have. That's old school way of approaching it. Has not, you know, Indiana having 11 wins and beating nobody, that doesn't mean they're one of the 12 best teams. Remember, I know, Linda, I'm not taking this out on you, but there's a big difference between deserving and best.
Yeah.
What this is all about is giving us the best 12 teams.
So Alabama beat Georgia. Just because they beat Georgia, they deserve to go? Does it not matter that Alabama lost to Oklahoma? Does it not matter that Alabama lost to Vanderbilt? So it's some of those things where, yes, you could have Alabama, who had 2 wins this year, South Carolina and Georgia, that were their 2 best wins. But does that mean they have to go? And you could just lose 3 other games and not be held accountable for it? So that's my problem. Yes, the wins do matter. And yes, you could get to a point where you're comparing quality of wins, but you got to be somewhat close. And when SMU, up until the conference championship game, only lost one game, and you also had Indiana only lost one game on the season, there's not enough to get Alabama or Ole Miss in over an Indiana or over an SMU, because you still got to get on somewhat of a similar playing field in terms of how many wins and losses there are. If it's a discrepancy of one, you know, and not factoring in some team that lost in conference championship weekend, that's a little bit different. All righty, let's continue with Kirk Herbstreit. This was him and Chris Fowler. They commented on First Take and Ohio State fans calling out Ryan Day before the Tennessee game. ESPN.
I can't forget
that
one. I can't speak on behalf of the lunatic fringe. I'm not sure how they operate. Yeah, the lunatic fringe at Ohio State is as powerful as anywhere in the country.
How big is the fringe?
It used to be 8 to 10. I think it's grown now to about 15 to 20. So I don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm sure they'll be happy tonight, be fired up about what the Ohio State team did. But God forbid they lose to Oregon. They may want to fire them again.
But that's not reality. I mean, that's the thing. When you hear pundits on this network and other places talk about that with certainty, it's nonsense, frankly. I mean, the public doesn't pull the trigger and get rid of the coach.
No.
The administrators do, and they're behind them.
Yeah. First Take tried to fire him. They thought he was done. So I'll be excited to see what they talk about on Monday after this performance.
So I find a lot of things funny there. Number one, they're talking about how the public can't get a coach fired or the public can't dictate who they hire. They were doing an Ohio State-Tennessee game. Years ago, Tennessee fans heard that Greg Schiano was going to be the coach, and they protested that, and Tennessee didn't hire Greg Schiano. So the public can play a role. And I like Chris Fowler. When Temple played Notre Dame and he was doing that game, he was very kind to me, came on campus. I kind of showed him around campus at Temple University, came into the student radio station, and did like a 20-minute interview with me. So I'm a Chris Fowler fan. I'm also a Kirk Herbstreit fan. But this idea, when announcers lecture the public for wanting a coach to be gone and say it's unrealistic, that's absurd. Like, Holly Rowe did the same thing. She was appalled that people were saying, oh, Ryan Day should be fired. I get it. Ryan Day's lost a lot of games. But the game is so important there, and he's lost the game four times when the guy that came before him in Urban Meyer never lost to Michigan. So this being like a foreign concept that a fan base was annoyed, give me a break. No one should be upset with Ohio State fans putting some pressure on Ryan Day. But Shannon Sharp heard those comments. They were attacking First Take, and this was him earlier this morning on First Take, firing back.
Even though I'm going to let it slide, I'm going to be a good teammate. I'm going to let it slide. Everybody's at ESPN, because had you not taken the route you taken, I would have lit their ass up. But I'm going to let it slide. You know what, guys? Congratulations, Ohio State. You won the game. But, hey, if we're going to be on the same team, if we're going to work for the same network, don't do that. Kurt, Chris Fowler, I promise you, if you ever mention anything, any platform that I'm on again and talking about, I wonder what they're going to say in negativity, I promise you, ESPN ain't got enough bosses to keep me off y'all for what I'm going to say. So I'm going to let y'all slide today. I'm going to turn it over to D.O. before I get myself in trouble. But don't play with me.
Well, Shannon Sharp's very good at his job, right? Makes a lot of money. Highly compensated to be on TV, and also makes a ton of money with his podcast. We want truthful Shannon there. Say what you wanted to say. Don't just make an empty threat. Oh, executives will hold me back. I thought that was lame by Shannon Sharp. And also, it's amazing. A guy like Shannon Sharp, who grew up in locker rooms, where there's a lot of ribbing that goes on anyway, he gets so sensitive because Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit called him out, called First Take out. Like, that's fun. That's healthy. You know, that should happen. I'm a part of a network. You go call out someone for a take, or you argue back and forth. I don't think that's a bad thing. This ESPN feud that happened, I thought was really good theater, and I thought it was really funny in both ways. And I put this tweet out there that Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, and Holly Rowe thought it was nonsense to talk about Ryan Day's job status after losing to Michigan. It wasn't at all. And then Stephen A., who you didn't hear there, but he also went off, and Shannon Sharp freaking out over what was said about them is rich as well. That's so weird. I thought that was a very bizarre response from Shannon Sharp, but it goes both ways. You could call out Ryan Day to be fired, and you shouldn't be shamed for it. And then Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, and I guess also Holly Rowe have every right to go defend Ryan Day. But I think if you had a brain when talking about college football and you saw 40,000 Tennessee fans at Ohio Stadium, a fan base that has turned a little bit on the coach. If Ryan Day would have lost that game to Tennessee, I don't care what the athletic director said. I don't care what Urban Meyer said in the past. I don't care what Ryan Day has said. If you think that it would be 100% that Ryan Day would have been back if he lost to Tennessee, I just don't believe that. But he won the game, he blew him out, and now it's a new day for Ryan Day. We'll get to more of Ryan Day and all the college football playoff next.